New scripture for the month. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. For in the Son all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. So all of your sins have been canceled because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. And speaking of what Chris, I'm excited about what Chris is going to be teaching, all of them. But some people have just said, oh man, America, it's going to hell in a handbasket, all these bad things about it, you know. There's a minister who God directly spoke to him, and this is what God said to him, because he was kind of thinking, man, America is just, it's such a bad place, everything's going bad, just bad, bad, bad. And the Lord interrupted him and he said, I will change the expression and understanding of Christianity in a single generation. In a single generation. Man, that's a powerful thing. And so, God can change things overnight. I mean, just look how many things have changed when COVID hit the world. How many things changed overnight? Well, I believe God is more powerful than any COVID or anything else that can change things overnight. Amen? If you want to follow along, you go to our rmfchurch.org, click on notes, and benefit, or media, then notes, benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be talking about relationships this month. Yeah, that's kind of the response I thought I would get. And not just, you may be single, you say, well, this isn't going to affect. Yeah, it's going to affect you as well. It's going to affect you as well. So, because the kingdom of God is all about relationships. The kingdom of God is all about relationships. You know, we try to make sure our doctrine's right, and we, Christians come against Christians if their doctrine's not right. But I'll tell you what, the greatest thing to God is relationships. Relationships. And so I'm going to be just reading a lot of statements today. If you're a note taker, you can take notes. But a lot of these are in the notes that are on our website. Let me just start off with saying the best marriage you can possibly have is the one that you're in right now. Amen. There's probably going to be a lot of cricket moments, I'm speaking today. Cricket. And I'll say this. Your spouse is not your source of happiness. This is going to be so good. I may have to encourage myself in the Lord, but anyway, this is going to be good. The times that I can speak from, we've been married 34 years, and the times that the most aggravating times in my life, not that Melody is anywhere close that can aggravate me. That was a joke. So anyway, but if you've been married more than probably about as long as Jerry and Kiana, 4 weeks, there's probably an opportunity for you to get aggravated. Is that right? Y'all looking really holy out there today, I'm telling you. But love is what you do for your spouse, not for what you feel about them. Amen. It's what you do. I just don't know if I feel love. Well, you need to start doing more for your spouse. And this is the thing. God knows exactly. You can read books, and I encourage you to read books on marriage and relationships. But the bottom line is that just because, like my wife likes flowers. I remember some lady who went to our church. They moved to Tulsa. She used to say, I would always get mad when my husband bought flowers because that was just a waste of money to me. And so you can't just say, husbands, buy flour. No, they'll probably end up in the trash real quick. So this is the thing. God knows what your spouse would like for you to do. So that's why you can ask God, and He gives us grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? Just to be married, to share the same toothpaste tube with somebody else who squeezes it differently from you. Once you get married, everything you thought, I just thought I knew this person. I've been married for 34 years, and I'm still like, wow, I didn't know that about you. Or life is changing. But anyway, I believe that God designed all relationships to be really, really good, especially marriage. So how do you love your spouse or your friends or your relatives? So this is everybody now. How do you love? Well, the Bible says, love each other as I have loved you. John 13:34. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is how God says the world is going to know that we're believers. It's by how you love one another. How you love your relatives. How you love... I went right over that, and you're probably great that I did. The ones in your family that when you get to a family reunion, you tell your spouse, do not speak to this one person. Do not. Or at work. I remember when I worked at FedEx, I thought this one guy, that he was not Satan, but he was a close relative. He would just get under my skin every day. Not just once a week, every day. And I thought, okay, and I would pray, Lord, help me. I want to treat this guy nice. And then when he would do something, I would just fly off the handle, eat his lunch, blow up the bag and pop it and everything. You know, it was just bad. And finally, the Lord says, you know what? You have to love. I love you unconditionally, Mike. Unconditionally. Do y'all understand what that phrase means? Unconditional. That means that no matter how I live my life, God is going to love me no matter what. Now, you don't have to be best friends with somebody who gets under your skin every single day. I'm not saying that, okay? But the Bible says that your life will be a lot better if you learn to love them unconditionally. You'll have more peace in your life. We need the fruit of the Spirit, and the Bible says that you have it. Galatians 5:22-23 says that we have the fruit of the Spirit. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have patience, we have kindness. I know sometimes you think that your spouse may not have that, but everybody has kindness. We have goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and we have self-control. Being married lets you know that you need all of these. Oh, people says, well, you know, if there wasn't, when we were missionaries in Africa, this one missionary says, you know, if it wasn't for the people, this would be an easy job. Well, marriage would be easy if that person thought exactly like you, did life exactly like you, and was just a replica of you. You would know. Be probably pretty boring, but you would know. You would know. But this is what God designed people to be different so that you can be complimented with that spouse. You can be complimented with that friend, with that relative. God wants you to know that we think sometimes, I wish they would be just like me. Then you wouldn't need them. My wife is the most organized person on the planet. She just sees things that I'm literally blinded to. I mean, she'll say something, what, did you notice this? And like a lot of men, I would go, no. No, I didn't notice that. Yeah, I can tell you didn't. But this is the thing, that used to irritate me, that she would just keep noticing things. And then, you know, the grace of God is so good. God says, you know, you need that. Your life would be a disaster. Literally, a disaster, Mike. You would not even be able to do church. You wouldn't be able to be a pastor. You probably wouldn't even know to get out of the rain. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You need that person. You need that friend. You need that relationship. You need relationships. It's all about relationships. Having a job that you're working with people lets you know that you need the fruit of the Spirit. The temptation is to run from our relationships. You know, and this is a sad part. I don't know if this, Melly says she doesn't know if this statistic is true. But they say, you know, marriages, 50% of them end in divorce. And they say that it's the same in the church as it is in the world. I don't know if that's true. I'm just going by what they say. Well, if it is, that's sad because, like I said, we have something that the world does not. We have God in us, Christ in us. We have grace. We have His power, His anointing to do marriage. We do. The temptation is to run from our relationships so we feel better about ourselves instead of staying in them until we not really get fixed, but until we see Jesus manifested in our lives. It's easier to run. It's easier to run. A minister, I think he literally, something happened to him. He had a heart attack or something, and he died, and he went to heaven. And God asked him, "Have you learned to love people?" And they revived him, and he came back to life. And that one question just slapped him upside the head. "Have you learned to love people?" So he made it his goal to love people, man. To love people. That's his, not you know, just making sure everybody believes exactly like he does. He was a pastor. You know, as pastors, sometimes we want to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. But God didn't even ask him anything about his theology, his doctrine. He says, "Have you learned to love people?" It's easy to love people who are like us. But marriage and relationships, friendships, are not a bunch of do's and don'ts. You know, have you ever heard married people say this? Probably not your spouse, but some spouses do say this. If he would just do this, if she would just do, fill in the blank. And sometimes it's many blanks, you know, it's like a screw. They would just do these 29 things. When a wife is hardest to love, chances are that is when she needs it the most. Wives have to be shown love. Men have to be shown respect and honor. When a husband is the hardest to respect, chances are that's when he needs it the most. And the thing is, God has put the goods in each of you to make sure that happens. Conflict never destroys a marriage. It's the refusal to resolve the conflict that dooms your hopes and leaves your marriage in trouble. Every marriage is threatened by disagreements, and you're going to have them no matter what. That's the result of being human, of looking at through different eyes, of coming together from different backgrounds. Everybody's right. Melody was raised in Africa. And so that was a challenge because she didn't even hardly know American culture. You know, I would mention, oh yeah, I was raised watching, you know, the Brady Bunch. The Brady who? You never heard of Fonzie? You never heard of all of these shows? No, we really didn't have TV in Africa. So just things like that. Now, that may not be something really different for you, but I guarantee you the person that you're married to is raised really different than what you were. Well, maybe you're still being raised, but we approach men and women, we approach conflict resolution from totally different views, expecting the other to respond as one would if they were a man. You know, sometimes men expect the woman to respond like a man should respond. Women think the men should respond like a woman. No, that's not going to happen. That's why there's two totally different species. Women and men are totally different. They're totally different. Bill Johnson was with some ministers and they were all talking about some of the hard things that were going on and experiencing. And he says it wasn't just, you know, crying time, but it was just facts that they were talking about, the difficulties of some of the things that were coming against them, and some of them were being attacked by in the media. One minister said that, well, I call that income tax. And Bill Johnson said, what? He says, I call that income tax. When you know, when you hear all this stuff being said against you or a tax coming against you. He said, but this is the thing. The more income, the more tax. You know, all through my life, you know, I pay more income tax now than I ever have in my whole entire life, you know. And there's a part of me in the back of my mind goes, dear Lord, this is terrible. But right behind that is, I've made more money now than I ever had in my life. So that's a good thing. We cry out for breakthroughs in our life. We cry out for the blessings of God to be manifested. We want things to happen, but some people can't handle the breakthroughs and the blessings being manifested because their inability to handle the tax. What do I mean by that? You know, things are going to come against you and me. They are. It's called life. But I believe that God has given us the same dominion that God gave Adam is still, that dominion is in you and me today. We have dominion. Oh, it doesn't mean problems are stopped because of that. No, dominion, the power of that means now you have the ability to handle that, to work through it, and have victory in spite of it. Does that make sense? But if you fall apart when a problem comes against you, just like the world does, then you're going to have to just respond and walk through it just like the world would. We have to get to a point that we are different and there's something greater than us. We quote that scripture. I've quoted it for years and years. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But for that to be manifested, you have to believe that. You have to believe there is greatness on the inside of you. And so when a problem arises, you don't look at it and go, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? 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 And you cry and you just respond just like everybody else does. Then you're going to have to work through that problem to the best of your intellect. And if it's a serious problem, it could take weeks, months, years, and you're just good luck with that. Or you can say, I have dominion in this situation. God has given me dominion in this situation. We are supposed to rule and reign in life. Not just when you get to heaven, but we are supposed to rule and reign right now, here, today, period. But you have to believe that. The theme for next year, I've already got a theme for us next year, 2024. There's going to be a line going all the way through next year, and that is renewing your mind. You have to think, and I have to think differently. We have to think what I'm talking about right now. I have dominion over this problem, this situation. It could be really, really serious, but I tell you what, I have dominion over it. God, I believe you're giving me wisdom, and I'm going to be able to handle this, not because I'm some great person, but because greater is he that is in me. You got to believe you have dominion. It has not been taken away from you. Dominion over every problem, over every situation. Relationships, loving the way Jesus loves. We forgive others because he's forgiven us. And when you receive his forgiveness, it sets you free from the hurt and the pain that person did to you. You don't have to wait for them to say, I'm sorry. Did all the married people hear that? You know, we give everybody the silent treatment. I'm waiting till he says he's sorry. I'm waiting. No, if you really want to be blessed, you forgive him before they say. Testing, 1, 2. You can forgive them before they ask for forgiveness. Did God forgive you before? Is God up in heaven going, man, you talk about a waiting line. God, you know, for us to ask for forgiveness, God would be way. Dear Lord, do you know he's forgiven you before you ask for forgiveness? I said, do you know God has forgiven you before you ask for forgiveness? He says to love the same way that he loves, so we should forgive before people ask for forgiveness. God's dream for your relationship is to be like the one he had with God, his Father. 1 John 4:17 says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we when we get to heaven. No, it says, so are we in this world. Let me ask you, this is why this is important to renew our minds. Is Jesus sick today? It's not a trick question. Is Jesus up in heaven with a fever? Is he any kind of mental illness going on with Jesus? Jesus having any financial problem? Jesus having some impatience with mankind, the United States of America? Has he been just, nah, I don't have any, you've gone too far. I'm so impatient with the United States of America. No. And this is what he says. As he is right now, so are we in this world. So those things that are coming against you, don't let them stay in you. It should be sickness, financial difficulty. You fill in the blank. This is temporary. I believe in Jesus' name that I'm the healed of the Lord, that I'm the blessed of the Lord. I believe that whatever I set my hand to prospers. What you think about God will shape your future. It's not just about bringing you out of something. God wants to set you on a journey that he walks hand in hand with you, victory after victory after victory. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Praise God. So we have the ability to have victory in the midst of your problems, in the midst of it. And I tell you what, problems can, you know, the media likes to amp everything up. Interest rates are probably going to go up another quarter to a half a point here in the next couple of weeks. They'll probably go up another quarter to a half a point before the end of the year, which means interest rates are going to be so expensive that they say nobody's going to be able to buy a house. If that's what you believe. I said, if that's what you believe, you can either hear the report of what the world is saying, what the media is saying, or you can believe God's report. My God meets all of my need according to the interest rate in heaven. No, according to his power and his riches. God can meet you supernaturally. He can provide for you supernaturally. He's still God. He still does miracles today, just like he did when he walked on this earth. He wants miracles to flow out of you and me. Amen? Let's start believing that. I said, let's start believing that, church. Let's start believing that miracles can flow out of you. Start believing that. Start believing your marriage is going to get better and better and better. You know? It's not a funny thing when you say, how long have you been married? I've been married all my life. I mean, there's sometimes, you know, I'm funny about stuff like that. But then you look at somebody and they think, they really meant that. You know, like, dear Lord in heaven. Oh, I've been carrying this ball and chain for 45 years. How long have you been married? 45 years. That's what you believe. I said, if that's what you believe about your relationship, that's what will happen. What are you believing about your relationship? What are you believing about your friends? What are you believing about your workplace environment? What are you believing about the United States of America? You believe what everybody else is saying, what the news media is showing? I'm telling you, the news media doesn't know squat. And since Melody's downstairs, they are stupid. They are. If you're listening to that, honey, you are getting the wrong kind of information. Get your information. I don't say stick your head in the sand. I read the headlines all the time. But you can read the headlines and go, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Oh, COVID's going to break out, they said, in December, and there's going to be a major shutdown. I'm not shutting down. I'm not shutting down. I'm not believing that. What are you going to believe? You got to believe what God says about you. And man, I'll tell you what, when you start acting and talking like that, all hell will break loose to try to make you change the way that you believe. It will try to change the way that you believe. That's when you got to get bulldog determined and go, no, 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 I'm not going to. And then another wave will hit you. And your situation may get worse. It may get twice as worse. And you go, oh, well, I thought I was. Okay, then that's, you just gave in right there. Just don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give in. Are you hearing me? When it comes to standing on your faith, don't give up. Don't give in, no matter what. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for each and every one of us. Thank you that you've given us patience to stand. When it seems like I can't take any more, we have the ability to keep standing because of Christ. Oh, when we've done all to stand, we will still be standing. When the dust and the storm rages, when it's all said and done, we'll still be standing in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us boldness. Thank you for giving us your faith, your confidence, Jesus. Your confidence is in us because you're in us. We thank you for your ability that is in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. On my left and on your right, these people will pray for you. If you believe in Jesus, thank you, Father. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, being born again, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, these people can explain that to you. If there's anything that you need in your body, you say, you know, I know we did communion, but I still have this little pain. Go over there. The Bible says believers lay hands on the sick. And what happens? They recover. That's not an opinion of any minister. It's a true fact today if you believe that. So they can do that for you. If you need prayer for your relatives, your job, getting a better job, they can pray for you. Amen. We're going to receive our offering. This is ways to give. If you give cash or check, there's envelopes in the back of the chair. There's two receptacles back there. You can text any amount, 84321. And if you give online, rmfchurch.org, click on the giving box online. And that's ways to give. We're blessed. Are you blessed today? Praise God. I encourage you to come every Sunday this month and hear about relationships. September 24th, we're going to have an awesome time. I believe we're going to see people healed like never before. We just need to start believing that this is a place where people get healed, that people hear from God, people get blessed. This is our time. This is Colorado's time. This is United States of America's time. This is the time that God's going to make himself known time. Amen.